We hear God's word in Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, who is coming again. Have you ever lost a tree? There are two significant trees that I have lost or mourned the loss of in my life. The first was the tree that grew in front of my boyhood home. It was a majestic and wonderful tree, well over 100 years old. I used to sit in its shade as a boy. A beautiful tree it was, filled with green leaves. And one day, my mommy and daddy gave me the news that pierced my heart. They said, "We're going to have to cut down the tree." And I was shocked, and I was saddened, and I think I began to cry a little bit. I was a little younger than I am now. I think I was about 33. But when I heard this news, I was so shocked and saddened. And I said, "Why?" I had visited them not long before, and I had seen the tree, and the tree looked fine to me on the outside. It was filled with leaves still. And they said, "Well, yeah, we had a tree expert come out to do the annual checkup, and there's some kind of weird elm disease or something, and that's what he found. And the problem is not on the outside, the problem is on the inside. It's eating away from the tree on the inside, and if this tree is not cut down, well, it could fall in our house, so that would be bad." Oh, and I was so sad. And then they took pictures and they sent me these pictures of the workers coming and cutting it down branch by branch. And they'd pile up the limbs and they'd mulch some, and others they'd take off to the dump. They'd probably burn it up in a fire. And oh my goodness, I was so sad. Oh, I thought I was done, though, with my tree traumatic loss. Until the month of September. We have two wells on our property. The shallow one had run dry. We have a deeper one, but it had to be connected to pipes going into the house. That's another whole story. But when the well guys came out, not only did they give me the news that they'd have to hook up the other well, they gave me news that I did not see coming. They said that the tree that was growing in front of the well would have to go. And I said, "Why? That doesn't make sense. I'm not the world's greatest scientist, but why the tree? We don't go wring water out of the tree. What does that have to do with the well?" And they explained to me that this tree, this evergreen tree that I called my Christmas tree, this tree that I'd watch grow each year that I'm in my house, I can date the pictures that I'm taking in my front yard by how tall this tree is. They told me that this tree was doing me no favors. I said, "It looks beautiful." I said, "It looks beautiful on the outside, but what it's doing is it's sucking up all the water that you want to be going into your well. And the problem is deep in the roots, not just on the outside." And I said, "Well, I'll talk to the tree." And they said, "No, that's not going to do it. We need to rip up the tree, roots and all." And I know I said yes, but I guess somehow I still didn't think it would happen until early the next morning they had returned. And I see a backhoe in my front yard, and my Christmas tree is getting ripped up by the roots. The whole thing's ripped out of the ground, and my children are at the window, and they're saying, "What are they doing to our tree?" And I said, "I don't know." Now we're all crying again. And they took away the tree, and they dumped it at the side of the driveway. And now as it dries up, piece by piece, we're taken to the back fire pit and burning. How sad. No matter how good a tree looks on the outside, if there's a problem with its inside or if it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, you got to cut it down and rip it out, roots and all, and probably just burn it. If you weren't here last week, you might have missed the memo and the disclaimer I made. So I'll repeat just a little of it again. In the season of Advent, I love coming to worship here. I mean, oh man, this place is just beautiful. I love the decorations. I love the singing. I love the songs. But when you come here for the Sundays in Advent, the Word of God that's appointed for these Sundays, if you're looking for Donner and Blitzen, if you're looking for warm fuzzies, Lifetime Hallmark Channel romantic Christmas movie kind of feeling things, sorry, you're not going to find it. And even though we're in such beautiful, warm surroundings, the Word of God that we're meditating upon week by week here, not a whole lot of warm fuzzies. The season of Advent was designed to be a quiet, somber, penitential season of repentance. Oh boy. And the Word of God that I have to preach on today is not easy. And I have to do it because that's what you've hired me to do, and we follow a liturgical calendar, so I just don't pick what I want to every week. And this is what's coming up. And I'll tell you, this is not easy. Not because it's difficult to understand, but because it's very clear to understand, and it cuts me right to the heart, and maybe you too. What's going on in this Word of God? John the Baptizer is using tree illustrations. And he says in verse 10, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." He's not just a botanist or an arborist who's concerned about the trees going on. Where he was preaching these words, there weren't a whole lot of good-looking trees to begin with. It was in the desert area near the Jordan River. But he is using this illustration of cutting down trees to describe what will happen to me, to you, if you do not repent of your sins. What a powerful picture. What had been going on? He saw a group of people coming out to him that looked so good on the outside. They were described as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were religious leaders in many ways in Jesus' day. And they knew how to look good on the outside. They would wear special clothing at times that distinguished who they were and that they were of a higher religious rote and rank than some other people. And they knew the words to say, and they knew the hymns to sing. They knew the words to pray, and they'd often pray them out loud. And their prayers would sometimes go like this: "Lord, thank you that I'm not as bad of a sinner as those wretched tax collectors and prostitutes." Oh, and they were good givers to church. You wanted to make a church budget, you relied on these people because they would give time and time. And when they'd give, they'd often rejoice at how great they were at giving and how less sinful they were than others. And these are the people that John looks at and begins what I consider to be the most shocking sermon introduction of all time. I don't know what you would all do with me if I began my sermon in this way. Verse 7, "You brood of vipers!" That's not too warm and fuzzy, is it? That's what he calls them. He calls them a bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. See, they thought, well, we're from the bloodline of Abraham. We're Jewish people. We're good to go. And what they thought they could do was look good on the outside, well, but kind of keep and harbor some sins on the inside that they didn't really have to get rid of. They thought that they could keep their pride, and that wouldn't be a problem at all. They thought that they could look down on others, and that would be fine. They thought they could judge others. They thought that they could participate in materialistic greed, and it's fine. God will still love them. They thought that they could come up with all kinds of cheap excuses for divorce and kind of redo God's ideas for marriage, but that would be fine because they were Abraham's children. And John comes right at him and says, understand what's going to happen. God is coming back. And he will take an axe and cut you down and burn you in never-ending fire. If you do not think you need him and you do not need to repent. Wow. And now John turns to you and I and proclaims these words. Who is our Savior? Who is Jesus? Who is the one that's coming back again? Understand this. He's the one who is going to come back with an axe in his hands, to use this illustration, and cut down those who reject him, those who do not believe in him, those who fail to repent. See, sometimes I think the picture that we have in Jesus, of him in our minds, or people have in their minds is, well, it's off. They think of Jesus as, well, just kind of some nice hippie rabbi, in a sense, who shuffled around in Birkenstocks and sat by lakes and told people to love each other. But who is Jesus? Yeah, he's God Almighty, coming back to judge the world. Or on December 25th, we might be very tempted to think Jesus is just a cooing little cuddly baby in the manger who doesn't even make a noise somehow when he's born. But that's not the picture here. He's coming back not as a cooing, cuddling, quiet baby. He's coming back as the God of all, who will judge all and who can have nothing to do with evil or sin. And the message today is repent. What does that mean? Repent doesn't mean, well, I'll just kind of feel sad about my sins. And I'll say, yeah, boy, I really shouldn't do that stuff. But then I'll still kind of keep it tucked away and do what I want to do, because after all, I have to be me. This repentance means coming before God Almighty and spilling it all out and pouring it all out. And it means looking deep into the roots of your heart and mind to see not just what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. And God's message to you and me is that there's a lot that should not be there and cannot be there to walk with him. You might think that the angry and spiteful words that you use with each other, including some of the people that live in your own house, is okay. And God says that is not. It's like dead wood that will be cut down. No child of mine should talk like that or think like that. You might think it's okay to a little lust, just kind of hang around in there. And God says, no, you cannot look at those images. The axe is at the root of the tree. That is sin. And I'm coming back to burn and judge this world because of sins like that. You might think that it's okay to overindulge in whatever you want to eat or drink as long as you want. And God says, no, you're accountable to me. And debauchery is not a fruit of the Spirit, nor drunkenness. You might think that there's no harm in getting around the little church gossip group and saying, well, did you hear about so-and-so and what they've done? Oh, my. And God says that's like a disgusting disease, that gossip, that envy, that dissension, eating at the roots. And I am going to come back and burn the world because of sins like that. No, boy. I don't like this text because it's talking to me and you, church people. And when I don't only look at the surface sins, but I start to look at the root sins that go on in my heart: jealousy, envy, selfishness, anger, greed. Oh boy, there's a lot in there that shouldn't be in there. And the problem is, God sees it all. But know why God gave us this text. It's not just to browbeat you and make you feel lousy. God gave you these words because he loves you so passionately and intensely that he wants to save you from all the sin, root sins that were given to you by your parents and that live in your heart today, and he has a better way. What does repentance mean? It means confessing those sins, not blaming others for those sins, but then full repentance means something else. It means turning from those sins to a new and clean and holy life. Time out. First, it means turning to the cross to see where those sins are killed. And your greed and your envy and your jealousy and your lust and your lack of self-control were put to death when Jesus went to a dead tree. It had been cut up and they made it in the form of something they called a cross, where they hung criminals to die, and that's where he hung and died. For all that is in your heart and mind that should not be there, and fully and completely and freely, he paid God's wrath for your sin. He stood in front of the axe, so to speak, and said, "I will die for them." And then he decorated you. Not with holly and tinsel, but with the robes of his righteousness, with his perfect record. It was poured on you in baptism, and it remains upon you today, and that's who God sees, and that's who God loves. And because he loves you so much, he's not done with you. He forgives you. He loves you. He accepts you before you did one thing for him. But he doesn't leave you that way. And he knows that, like weeds coming up in a garden or suckers growing on a tree, sin continues to plague us and try to distract us. So he calls you and I to continue to repent of our sins, not to earn his favor, but to see his favor more clearly. Because when I can come here and I can pour out to God my sins, then he can clear away that chaff. He can cut out the branches that shouldn't be there, and then more clearly I can see not the trivial but the treasure that I have in Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. And then I will not be a slave to that sin. But he says that the kingdom of God is near and that he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means when you get into the Word of God, the Word of God is not just a rule list for you to do better. The Word of God is something living and powerful and active that the Holy Spirit works through to empower you to do things you could never do on your own. So that removing lust, envy, greed, selfishness, God replaces it with joy and peace and goodness and kindness, and he works in your heart. And he brings forth new growth. He says you are a new creation. And neither life nor death can change that. In a little over a month, some of you are going to lose a tree. It's for you Christmas purists who insist on a real tree. For some of you, you'll say, "Bah, humbug," and chuck it to the curb the day after Christmas. For others of you, you'll hold on as long as you can in denial over the diminishing needles that are filling up your living room or basement floor. But for some of you, you're going to participate in the very unglorious scene of dragging a tree to the curb, maybe leaving it there for others to pick up and go cut up and destroy and burn. How sad. Maybe you feel that way sometimes, though, in your life. You feel, "Oh, I'm fighting against sin. My own body seems to be dying day by day." And I have been to those sad situations where a body is placed into the ground at a grave site, and it looks so final. And you know the truth. You will live forever with Jesus because he died for you and rose again. He will live in you, baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep you strong until the end. Out of love, he will take an axe for that word that cuts to joint and marrow, and he will get out of your life what shouldn't be there so you can see his love more clearly. And then one day he will raise your body and you will flourish and live forever with him, body and soul in heaven, where the book of Revelation says you will stand upon and around the tree of life, and you will live and flourish forever. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to be renewed in his love. He's coming soon, and you will live forever with him. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.